Since 1993, hundreds of women have been murdered in and around Ciudad Juarez in Chihuahua City. But despite pressure from the victims' families, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and growing international concern, the death count keeps on growing. With me now for today's underreported segment is Guadalupe Morfin, by phone from Mexico City. She's a lawyer, a human rights activist who writes poetry on the side, and she leads a special commission to oversee federal intervention in Juarez. Also with me is Laurie Freeman, Mexico associate at the Washington Office on Latin America, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to my show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Leonard.
Commissioner Morfin, what is the total death count at this time? Do we know?
I must ask excuses for my English, but I didn't understand your question. Could you repeat for me?
Do we know how many women have been killed so far?
Yes. There is a war about numbers. I do not want to adopt one specific number of victims, but they fluctuate between 300 and 400. There is an academic, Julia Monares, that works in El Colegio de la Frontera Norte. She's a feminist that has been doing a very serious data basis, and she has appointed quite 400 of women killed in Ciudad Juarez, and one-third of these women belong to that kind of murder called femicide, a systemic femicide with sexual connotations.
Uh-huh.
The other two-thirds of these killings happens in the interior of their homes or for another reasons, to stall them in an assault, or they cross the street while two bands are fighting or shooting, and they die. But there is one-third of these killings, more or less 145, 48, upon Julia Monarre's work. And in that third number, we have not enough work to stop impunity.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. Laurie Freeman, so it's my sense from what the Commissioner Morfin has said that we have a wide range of women here, their ages, their appearance, their professions, their economic status, the fact that some of them were killed with sexual abuse as part of it, and some killed for other reasons. So that would also suggest that there are a lot of different killers.
Are you asking to me? Yes. These women belong mostly in a great number to very poor people.
Appears to be a receiver. Yeah. Hold on one second, Commissioner Morfin. We lost the other call, and so it's a lot easier, I guess, to speak to Mexico City than it is to speak to Washington, D.C. these days, but that's what just happened to us. Okay, everybody's back.
Yes.
You said that there's that...
I am listening to you. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So there's a wide range of reasons for these women to die, and also perhaps a number of different killers. This is not a serial killer or a group of serial killers at work.
It should be very. It is very interesting question, and I encourage you to ask this same question to the federal prosecutors and to the local prosecutor, because several hypotheses have been done about these killings, these murderings. One or two serial murders, mostly of the murders are belong to the intrafamiliar violence against women, many and others in a context or impunity with organized crime. There is a strong presence of one of the most powerful cartels of drugs in Mexico, in Ciudad Juarez, and that is the cartel of Juarez. We must analyze how much the economical position of this city that has a lot of maquiladoras, I don't know how to explain this kind of industry of assembly parts, that give work to a lot of women, has influenced in the lack of culture for life in their own homes that traditionally is in the hands of their women.
So
I don't know if I explain it.
Well, let's get Laurie in here. No, you're quite clear, Laurie. So most of these are poor women, and we're talking about a border town, because Ciudad Juarez is just across the border from El Paso, Texas.
Yes.
Laurie, do you think that the fact that it is a border town has anything to do with these murders?
Well, I think the fact that it's a town that has grown really quickly in the last couple of decades, and there aren't the same kind of, social structures and support networks and infrastructure and things like that to accommodate the city's growth. So, you have large communities of people that are new to the city. They're living in really impoverished areas, without water and electricity in some cases, paved roads, things like that. And so it's kind of creating this environment where, there just aren't the kind of government services for people. I think the fact that it's a border city and it's a place where drugs cross, into the United States, I think that also has contributes to the climate of impunity.
And it's also easy for Americans to cross into Ciudad Juarez. And I've read some theories that have sex offenders from Texas crossing the border into Juarez, where they're more likely to get away with murder, to find victims as easily as opposed to what might happen in El Paso.
Yeah, there's so many theories out there, and I think one of the problems is that the cases have not been adequately investigated, and so it's really hard to know what is causing these murders. A lot of people are putting out all these different theories, and really I hesitate to kind of say it's any of them because just the absolute lack of any real investigation into these murders, especially into the sexual kind of serial murders. I mean, the people that they have in jail for those murders, it's on very dubious evidence, mostly confessions that were allegedly extracted under torture. There's no real hard scientific evidence sort of linking them to the crimes. But I do think the fact that it's a border town and it's a place where there's drug cartels operating, and, they have managed to completely corrupt and weaken the police so that there isn't an effective response when women are killed. I think that's definitely a factor that's contributed to this phenomenon.
Commissioner Morfin, before we get to the lack of police investigation, what is the significance of 1993? We've been talking about these murders since then. Is that just the year that people started noticing, or are there other factors that may have led to an increase in killing of women at, 12 years ago?
The murderings didn't begin in 1993. That is the date when civil society in Ciudad Juarez began to take the count and began to number and name all the victims. That was a work done by people in the NGOs and for the victims' families. I was listening to Laurie Freeman. I agree. There's a city, not a town. Ciudad Juarez is a big city that produces a lot of richness and that has grown very, very fast in the last two decades. And the growth, there's a lot of inequality, social inequality in the city.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few people very rich and many, many people with an extreme poverty. And the municipal authorities have not traditionally have enough budget to work in the city infrastructure or equipment. We have quite 50% of the street with no pavement, with no light. So federal government has been doing very big efforts with the municipal authorities to increase the security, illuminating the streets and with inversions in infrastructure in the public spaces, creating squares, places, and doing a lot with the Habitat program of social development secretary in federal government in Mexico.
Well, let me bring Laurie Freeman in here and bring in a Chihuahua City, which is also now being included in this murder rate. It's further south. It is not a border town. It has a reputation for being much more straight-laced, and it does not seem to have some of the infrastructural problems that Juarez does. So should we be surprised that murders are taking place there as well?
The murderings are happening also in Chihuahua City. Are you asking me?
Well, both of you, of course.
Well, yes, we have 17 cases of murderings in Chihuahua, and another girl is disappeared. There's a lot of work that federal and local authorities must do to refound the state of law in Chihuahua State. That means a lot of work in respect of the due process, reforming the justice system, making the institutions to work for the reason they were created, and reconquer the dialogue and the trust between society and authority.
Do you want to add something to that, Laurie?
Yeah, well, Chihuahua City, it's not a border city like Juarez, but it is home to many maquilas, or the export processing factories as well. And, you know, while there may not be the same kinds of, there's still a lot of poverty. A lot of the victims of the killings in Chihuahua were also very young and very poor women as well. So I think that, you know, it's similar situations, and it's taking place in the context of a state where there is a huge problem of corruption and a huge problem of drug trafficking. And, you know, it's not limited just to the city of Juarez. Chihuahua City is the state capital, so obviously, that's where the powers that be are located. So I think that, you know, it's not a surprise that the murders have spread there.
Well, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll look into how these murders have been investigated and what a carpetazo is. Laurie Freeman is Mexico Associate at the Washington Office on Latin America, and Guadalupe Morfin is the head of a special commission to oversee federal intervention in Juarez as a result of the hundreds of women, estimated as many as 400 women, who have been murdered in and around Ciudad Juarez and Chihuahua City over the last dozen years or so. Stay with us. And we're back with Underreported with Guadalupe Morfin, who's talking to us from Mexico City. She's the head of a special commission to oversee federal intervention in Juarez. And with us also is Laurie Freeman from Washington, D.C. She's the Mexico Associate at the Washington Office on Latin America. And you've talked earlier about the nature of the investigations. Laurie, you've said that local human rights groups fear a carpetazo. What is a carpetazo?
Yeah, well, that's basically the fear that the authorities are just trying to kind of throw the book at the case by arresting some suspects, charging with the crimes, and sort of fabricating evidence and guilt in order to just say that they've closed the cases and that, you know, no more work needs to be done. And we've seen that happen. There's several groups of detained men that have been in prison for, you know, varying amounts of time. Late last year and earlier this year, they were all convicted of, you know, different murders that have occurred over the years in Juarez. Despite the lack of any real credible evidence against them and very, you know, credible allegations that they were tortured into confessing, in some cases the family members, you know, don't believe that these are the men that killed their daughters. So the perception is that, you know, the local authorities are trying to say that the cases are solved and that there's no need for, you know, the Mexican or international community to worry anymore because they've got the killers in jail.
But the killings continue despite the fact that they have people like Victor Garcia Uribe in jail, or David Mesa, or in one case, isn't there a couple, Cynthia Klecker, an American woman, and her Mexican husband, Ulises Percival? Are all of these people accused of committing the 400 murders that we've been hearing about?
The people that they have in jail, there was one arrest in 1995 of a man, they call him the Egyptian, Abdel Latif Sharif, and they accused him with a number of the murders. After he went into jail, the murders continued. And so every group of people that they've subsequently arrested and charged with these serial murders, they've said that they've kind of been doing it in cahoots with the Egyptian man, that he pays them to carry out the murders. So that's, you know, the authorities' version of how these killings continue. Now, the people that you mentioned, the American woman and her husband, they were accused of one murder in Chihuahua City that happened about 2 years ago. And they, fortunately, were released in December. They were acquitted, not found guilty. But unfortunately, the local prosecutors have appealed that decision. They continue to insist that they're guilty of the murder. And then there are other people. David Mesa, he's a young man from Chiapas who's accused of killing his cousin. He wasn't even in the state the day that she disappeared. He traveled to the city of Chihuahua to help look for her after she went missing. When they found the body, the authorities claimed he was the one that had killed her. Her family doesn't believe he's guilty. You know, they're doing whatever they can to try to get him out. He was tortured into confessing. But he's been in jail for 2 years awaiting a verdict by a judge. And then another man, Victor Garcia Uribe, he was convicted in October of last year for the killings of 8 women that happened in Ciudad Juarez in November of 2001. And again, you know, the families of those women who were killed, some of them don't believe that he's the one that's responsible. I believe that even some of those women that he's accused of killing, they haven't even been positively identified by the authorities. You know, there's just so many irregularities in the case that there's no public, there's no trust, there's no faith that the government is really doing a serious job, and you know, the families just don't know what to believe anymore.
Commissioner Morfin, in one of those cases, the police returned the wrong remains to the body. The bones belonged to their daughter, but the skull belonged to someone else entirely. In fact, it was a male skull. What is the state of forensics in this area? Is any DNA testing being done?
Yes, there was a test done by the federal prosecutor, but without remains about the other part of the body that you name. That's the case of Neira Azucena Cervantes and the mother, Patricia Cervantes. She believes in the innocence of David Mesa Argueta, her nephew, who is in jail. Mm-hmm. And we asked the federal commissioner, the federal prosecutors, to apply an international protocol against torture in 4 cases, in Cynthia, Kicker, Ulises Percival, the 2 people that were released in last December by justice system, in the case of David Mesargueta, and in the case of Victor Garcia Uribe. Mexico has opened his doors to the international authorities in human rights, not only from the United Nations system, but to the American Organization States, the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. That's a very good disposition to have to accomplish all the international recommendations. And there was a very important work done by the experts of the United Nations Office Against Drug and Delete, and that was a mission that stayed in Ciudad Juarez among October 2003, and they did a report. The report is published in the Ministry of the Exterior page of Mexico government, and also in our page, www.comisioncidjuarez.gov.mx,
That's the website.
Yes, that's the website. And that work is very important to insist in how Mexico has to do the effort to put the responsibles in jail, but the innocent in liberty.
Well, didn't you bring in a forensics team from Argentina to study the victims' remains last year? What did their report come up with?
They examined 23, 24 fields about women that had whose corpses had not been identified. They identified 53 cases. And they made a report with a diagnostic. We offered that diagnostic this January in several meetings and reunions in Chihuahua City, in Ciudad Juarez, with the groups of families of victims, NGOs, and authorities from the three powers in the state of Chihuahua. We were in the governor's palace building with the general secretary of government of Chihuahua State. We were with the state prosecutor and also with the judicial power in and with the Congress of Chihuahua State. And also in Mexico City in the federal Congress with the Senate and the deputies commission to follow these investigations.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I think Guadalupe Morfin is mentioning how the Mexican government has opened itself to, you know, being, you know, inviting international experts and international human rights entities in to look at the situation in Juarez. And they have produced so many reports, and they're very good reports. But I think one of the things that the families of the victims and people in Juarez want is more than just reports. They want results. They want answers. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet.
Isn't one of the problems that that homicide is a state crime, not a federal crime, and so the state of Chihuahua is the only has the power to investigate these, but not the Mexican government, not the federal government?
Exactly. So the federal government can only intervene in cases where the murders are related to federal crimes like drug trafficking, or, you know, other things of that nature.
Have they been able to determine that in any of these cases?
Well, apparently they have attracted, which is the word they use when the federal jurisdiction comes into play, 22 cases, if I understand correctly, 22 out of the nearly 400 murders. And, you know, still, you know, that happened maybe 2 years ago, and the family still haven't seen any progress there. I guess, however, the Argentine team that did go down and reviewed and made a proposal, it looks like that will, the nice thing about what they're doing is that they will at least be able to provide some kind of answers to the families if they're allowed to come in and try to independently identify these unidentified bodies. Then they will at least be able to provide some families with at least an answer if, you know, their daughters are indeed dead, or if they, you know, if you don't know for sure if your daughter is dead, you're not going to give up hope that she's alive. You're still going to be looking. And that's a very difficult way to live. It's a lot of anguish and uncertainty. So,
well, do the statistics include those missing women? When we talk about 400 women, is it more than that? Are those just the 400 bodies we've found?
Like Guadalupe said, you know, there's different numbers, but mm-hmm. I think Amnesty International, they produced a report about 2 years ago, and their number was 370 murdered and missing women in Ciudad Juarez and Chihuahua, and now it seems to be up to 400. So I think there are different reports about how many women are missing. There have been many missing persons reports filed, but then sometimes the women are found. And I think the federal government estimates there are about 37, but the NGOs believe that there are more, you know, maybe twice that many.
On today's Underreported, we are looking into the murders of women in Juarez and Chihuahua City with Lori Freeman, Mexico Associate at the Washington Office on Latin America, and with Guadalupe Morfin, who heads a special commission to oversee federal intervention in Juarez. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Commissioner Morfin, you work for the federal government. When did you come to head this commission?
In October 2003.
How did you feel about how the investigations had been handled when you took this job?
there was a lot of bad work done. I read the international reports made by several institutions and the National Ombudsman work also. And we begin the work in dialogue with all kind of authorities and all kind of social and political leaders in Ciudad Juarez and in Chihuahua state, and with the victim families. I want to tell that the state prosecutor, Patricia Lucila González Rodríguez, the prosecutor of the attorney of Chihuahua State, has a very good disposition to open doors to the work of the forensic equipment from Argentina. She wants them to work there because they have the credibility of the community, and that is a very good issue, a very good notice. We have work, Lori Freeman knows that, a lot with pushing this equipment to be there because they are women that in which the mothers of the girls trust, and the trust is a very good value in this kind of work.
Because some of the victims' families have felt that the government has actually been sabotaging the investigations rather than helping.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, it's very interesting. There's a special federal prosecutor that has been working to kind of review all of the murder files. And one of the things that she's looking for is where the state authorities committed acts of negligence, abuse of authority, and in their investigations. And she's come up with a list of over 100 state officials, like police, prosecutors, forensic experts, that she found evidence, you know, were negligent or deliberately, committed acts of wrongdoing in their handling of the investigation.
Any idea why they might?
I want to tell that these women, the special prosecutor Maria Lopez Urbina was denounced penally in the penal way by 27 ex-public servers who were nominated in her report. This week, another special attorney was nominated, Mireille Rocati. She was a national ombudsman. She was president of the National Commission of Human Rights in Mexico, and she signed a very important recommendation in 1998, the 44 recommendation that was referred to the first cases of murderings in Ciudad Juarez.
Well, has anything slowed down? Have the investigations had any effect?
That's the thing. I feel like people feel like all these important reports that have been issued and naming names of authorities that committed, you know, that didn't do their job to investigate the murders, it still has not yet led to any real concrete actions. I believe maybe two of the more than 100 state officials are being prosecuted for abuse of authority.
Some people have suggested that officials and police officers are directly involved in the murders and that this is an internal cover-up.
I think some of it is just bad and sloppy police work, and others of it, the other thing, it seems to suggest that there's a deliberate cover-up for some of the murders. But it's interesting to note as well, the authorities, you know, they say that it's mostly domestic violence, it's not these, you know, serial killings, that's not the majority of cases, and well, that's true. Even the cases that aren't, you know, these very kind of sinister and eerie serial killing cases, the domestic violence cases were also not adequately investigated. I mean, there's just really this complete apathy on the part of the state officials to do any kind of serious investigation.
I was interested to note that opinion polls have showed that most Mexicans believe that the women have been murdered so that their organs can be extracted for transplants for wealthy patients in the United States.
Exactly. I think I have a theory about all these theories. It's just a way to not face up to the fact that violence against women is a serious and pervasive issue in Mexico. So organ trafficking becomes the reason women are getting killed, because then we can blame, you know, somebody else. It's not society as a whole that's responsible for, you know, the fact that women are getting killed and nobody's investigating it. It's somebody else.
Commissioner Morphine, since the Chihuahua is not under the federal jurisdiction, how much power do you actually have?
The power of telling the truth, and to push the justice. And that can be a lot of power if people want to work in that line. That can be a very few power if people do not want to work in that line. But I promise myself always to tell the truth and always to work for the justice. But I want to insist that my commandment is not of a prosecutor. It's of a commissioner that push the agenda of justice and also the social development of Ciudad Juarez to better protect women's lives. And the results will be seen in a long or medium term, not immediately.
Now, Larry Freeman, just one more question. What about the victims' families? Is anyone reaching out to them? Is there a compensation fund or anything else to help them out?
The victims' families are supported by a lot of non-governmental organizations, both in Mexico and in the international community. The federal and state governments have put together a compensation fund, and I just saw reports today that they announced that they would start distributing, reparations to the families of the victims. It looks like they're going to be distributing money to all the families of who have lost daughters in Juarez. So that is something that seems to be happening.
Meanwhile, we have Mexico looking very bad in the eyes of the rest of the world, and women, I'm sure, in Juarez and Chihuahua afraid to go out alone.
Definitely. There's still, I think that the work that the special commissioner is doing is incredibly important. And like she said, it's going to take a long time to see, the changes in the culture and in the society and in the city that will make women safer. But the compensation fund, it still isn't addressing the fact that the families have a right to know what happened to their daughters and to see that those who are responsible for the killings are held accountable. And to see that the officials that botched the investigations are held accountable for that as well, because unless there are serious investigations and prosecutions, women are always going to be in danger of being killed.
Thank you both so much for participating in this underreported segment. Larry Freeman, Mexico Associate at the Washington Office on Latin America, and Guadalupe Morfin, who heads a special commission to oversee federal intervention in Juarez.
Thank you.
Thank you to you.